This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our first guest in the studio with us, Eve.
Yeah, we sure do. So joining us in studio right now, we have AP Popjoy, who is the writer, director, documentary filmmaker of a new really interesting series called Unerased, and it's just launched online literally in the last half hour?
Almost like 20 minutes ago at Minus 18 Youth on Instagram.
Congratulations.
Thank you. No, thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks for joining us. So before we get cracking talking about the project, tell us a little bit about yourself. So like, what's your journey been with filmmaking? How did you actually end up in this position here?
I ask myself that every day. I've always really been interested in storytelling and documentary making as a whole. And I feel like probably like a lot of people in my position, I went to film school after I finished high school. And I ended up making a short film at uni that was all about the gay liberation movement in the 1970s. And once I graduated, basically the film that I had made that was based on two women, I decided to make the documentary version and started to work in documentaries. And then that sort of got picked up, and I've been making documentaries ever since, the last 2 or 3 years, with a focus on queer storytelling and trans storytelling. But Unerased kind of, I never thought I would make a series like this. I mean, I think we started developing it about 2 years ago now. With the kind of campaign and the thought to give trans youth a platform and a voice back. And so I guess I find myself in these positions because I'm really, really interested in my own community. And sometimes there's just a story that pops out of the woodwork that you just say, oh, I have to tell that. So I feel like story drives me as a documentary maker, and that's why I find myself in these positions most of the time.
Yeah, great. Well, before we get into the nitty gritty of it all then, tell our listeners what it is exactly that Unerased is about.
Yeah. So Unerased is a 17-part documentary series for online, for Instagram and TikTok. And it follows 9 different transgender teenagers across Australia who are finishing their last years of high school. But the twist with Unerased is that it's actually all self-shot. So all the teenagers from across the country have been documenting their own lives, just using their phones and cameras for the last year in a bid to not only let people into their lives, but to change perspectives on what it actually means to grow up trans in this country and to give the microphone back to trans youth. So, yeah, it's a documentary series. It's vertical and it's for social media, which the teenagers love. So that's good. But, yeah, no, it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's very accessible, like familiar media for them to use. Mm. And also just generally across the world, like, I mean, it's perfect for reaching as many people as possible, being an online program.
Yes.
And so because you're working with people who are teenagers, what was the process of finding these people to be in the documentary series?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely an ambitious project. I mean, like directing 16 different teenagers across the country remotely for a year was a chat. Like I, you know, it was a concept, but to make it actually into something is a whole other ball game. But we kind of lent on our queer community at the time, like Joy, like Minus 18, like Transgender Victoria, who basically sent a call out amongst their circles to any teenagers who would be interested in vlogging their lives for a year for a youth-led project. And so we posted that. I went to bed. I woke up the next day and there was almost 100 applications from across the country from all these young people wanting to take part of it. And I kind of, in that moment, I was like, oh, no, young people are really hungry to tell their story. Mm. Like, we need to make this. And so I spent about 3 or 4 months on Zoom calls with trans kids from all over the country talking about their school experiences. And then to actually find the 9 who would make up Unerased, there's 9 cast members, was a hard process, but it was about trying to find 9 young people who had a story to tell and also finding 9 young people who had a breadth of diverse experience. So we're not, you know, we're talking trans people, but trans people who are also people of color, trans people who are also from rural areas, trans people who are also religious. And so, yeah, it was definitely wasn't an easy process trying to pick 9 out of 100. But like I said, I think we were really, really fortunate and lucky to find young people who want to be a leader in their own story. So it sounds hard, but when you actually put the space and the word out there, young people are really hungry for it. Yeah.
Well, the difficulty I would have thought AP would have been the actual bringing them down to the the final 16, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you mentioned some of the things that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. Were there any, did you have anything else in mind, like any other criteria that you mm-hmm. wanted to place on the people that you actually ended up choosing?
Yeah, well, you know, as a documentary maker, and particularly with documentary and young people, like the forefront of our minds is our duty of care to these young people. Yeah. We know that young people are very intelligent and are smart and are curious. But we also know that, you know, trans young people are also very vulnerable. So we wanted to choose 9 cast members that, I guess, had really good support systems around them, both at school and at home, and who also had inclusive and accepting families who would also take, you know, be on this journey with us. You know, parents played a big role in this as well. And we knew that going into the process, we also partnered with Project Rocket and also Transgender Victoria, who provide peer support counselling for the kids throughout the making of this project, and who continue right now to still do our aftercare plan with the kids. So it was about choosing participants who have a story to tell, but, you know, are also in a safe place to tell that story. Was really important for us, yeah.
Mm, it feels incredibly timely, given that all around the world at the moment, there's been like this absurd witch hunt against mm-hmm. people who are trans mm-hmm. or exploring the gender, you know, the non-binary gender. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like in America in the last couple of days, we've heard this ridiculous story about banning trans people from playing chess, of all things, which is like not only like transphobic but misogynistic, and it's just absurd.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it so important for these stories to be coming directly from trans youth as opposed to documenting it from the outside?
I think, well, firstly, one of, you know, that's sort of same frustration that I have at, you know, that chess ban was, you know, reading any bill that's directed at transgender teenagers was all policymakers, teachers, adults, trans kids have been locked out of a conversation that is ironically all about them, which just sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. And so why the vlogging format is important, not only does it work on social media, not only does, you know, it kind of feel innate to the young person experience, but it was the most authentic way to tell the story, was mm-hmm. to have young trans people be the ones to click the record button and say, this is what my life is like. Because we all know that it's different for everybody. And we also found that, you know, when you give a safe space and you give support and empowerment to young people, they give back to you in tenfold. They are vulnerable and brave and courageous to say what they need to say. And I just thought to myself, you know, we could grab a bunch of cameras and go into these homes of these kids and to shoot it. But if our intent is really, truly to give the microphone back, then we should give it back. Mm. So, yeah, no, no one's going to get the full depth of it if it's not coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mm. I mean, it's already such a brave thing to sort of like confront your own identity and to make really conscious changes about like how you want to express yourself and like speak to your own family and friends about that. It's potentially quite vulnerable to do this on such a broad platform. Were there any concerns from the participants in it or their parents or even from yourself as the filmmaker about the kind of response they might have from people online?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course. That was definitely at the forefront of our minds when we decided to make it for online. Look, social media is a blessing and a curse, right? Because we knew that we were going to reach the most amount of people using this app, but we also knew that we could invite the wrong audiences in to see this content. And it was something that we were very honest and open about from the beginning with both cast and parents and families. And that's, again, why we brought in our partners, Project Rocket, who has a great kind of online safety network. And, you know, they sit on the safety boards of these platforms, which is really helpful. And Transgender Victoria, who was there to be able to kind of speak to the trans experience and what it's actually like to be a young person and to create a community around the kids themselves so they have support. You know, it's much easier to take the leap if there's 9 of you opposed to just 1 of you. Mm. But like we said, being able to partner with Minus 18 as our online distributor, we knew that 9 times out of 10, we're going to hit the right audience because Minus 18 have the same audience as us. So, yeah, of course, there's definitely always concerns. I think any young trans person has concerns when they open a TikTok or an Instagram app. But I think we've done our due diligence in making sure that we have that padding around the cast, that if there is something that happens, it's going to take 3 or 4 or 5 steps to get to them. Then we can stop it before that happens.
Yeah.
And again, that's really down to a duty of care plan and your responsibility as a documentary maker. So yeah, it's about inviting in a team and the experts really who deal with this sort of stuff into the team. Yeah,
which is a great resource for any young trans person as well. Mm. Was there any opportunity for these people to sort of meet each other or interact, or like, has it broadened their community or support network?
Yeah. Well, actually today is the first time that the cast members all met in person downstairs. Wow. Because they're all from across Australia. Yep. Getting them all into the same room is obviously very, very hard. We have, you know, participants from Western Australia, from Sydney, from Melbourne. And today was the first time they all met in person. But prior to that, after the sort of production vlogging period finished, we started our aftercare process with workshops that all were online on vlogs and on Zoom, and they've just become very, very fast friends with each other. The nine of them have created this awesome little community with each other, and become kind of like a bonded family in a sense, because they all have this unique experience mm-hmm. of vlogging mm-hmm. for a documentary together, that they've all just found solace in one another. So that's always been there, but this is the first day in person that they've actually all met. And so kind of what I said downstairs was like, you know, it's the friendship that you take away from this, really. Like, documentary and storytelling brings people together. Mm-hmm. And this is just proof of that. So I think they're going to be friends forever, really. It's amazing. Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask is, now you said they were filming for almost a year themselves. How difficult was it to cut that down to one to the episode?
Very, very difficult. Yes. Very, very difficult. It was hard. It was, and like, this is the, you know, the sort of, a lot of stuff gets left on the cutting room floor, unfortunately. I mean, you know, we're documentary makers. Yeah. We're not surgeons. You know, we can only do what we can with the money and the time that we have. But I think it's about us choosing, not us choosing as in us and collectively with the cast, being able to distill people's story into, like, you know, what do you really, really want to tell? And yeah, it's always, always difficult. But having the cast and their family members a part of that process was really good. But yeah, it was difficult, but we got there. So that's why there's 17 episodes and not three, because there's a lot of content.
And that was an interesting point you made, that the editing actually involved the participant and their family as well. Mm. So they had a bit of a say in the end product.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, there was a rough cut that was put together of the series that all the cast and their parents saw. And then after a few days, we got in contact with all the cast and parents and heard what they thought, what they think. And it was actually a very, very positive response from everybody, which was really, really great. And I think it's because we've been so close to the cast members for so long. And also the cast members are obviously aware of what they're shooting and what they're kind of handing in. So, it was a collaborative process with them all. But it was all, yeah, of course. And again, with our duty of care, it's about making sure that they see the content before it goes out and that they're happy with it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, being Gen Z, they all seem incredibly comfortable in front of the camera, which is something I noticed straight away. Mm. They were, like, quite captivating to listen to, and it felt really, like, honest and raw and personal. Tell us a little bit about who these people are that we're going to meet through the documentary series, because they all have such different stories, but they're all going through this already difficult time of high school and graduating and, like, going from, you know, the system and then eventually out into, like, the big wide world, which has different challenges as well. Tell us some of their stories.
Yeah. Okay. So there is nine of them, so bear with me. So there's nine. So there's Lee, Nijay, Felix, Theo, Connor, Chloe, Ellie, Arwen and Declan. If anyone ever caught that and wrote that down, good for you. But basically, so the thing that binds all these young people together is they're all graduating high school and all becoming adults, effectively. Adults, I put in quotation marks, because whoever grows up after high school, really. But some of their stories, you know, they're really far in between. We've got, you know, stories dealing with, you know, how do I transition after the loss of a parent? How do I balance my religious identity and my transness? How do I balance my gender queer identity and being a person of colour? Where do I fit into spaces? We also deal with, you know, quite universal themes, like how do I pass my exams and keep my scholarship? We have one participant who is non-binary and dreams of becoming a professional dancer, but obviously we know professional dance only deals with men and women. So where do they sort of fit into that? We also talk about making friends and dealing with social anxiety. You know, I think in the last couple of years of high school, it's really pressurizing to, like, you've got to make the best friends of your life here, otherwise you're never going to find friends again. And that, what does that bring up for you? And also, most importantly, we have two participants who are medically transitioning, and what is it like for them to go through the healthcare system as 16, 17 year olds, and what are the obstacles that they face? But we've also just got like normal teenage stuff. Like we've got one participant who is on the road to doing Battle of the Bands at school and they hope their band gets in, you know? So it's a real mix of, you know, I guess niche challenges that we found that we face as trans people, which I think is really important to shine light on. But the thing with Unerased is that like being a young trans person, you're not excluding just a normal teenage experience at the same time. We still want to deal with exams and formals and finding friends and exams and all that sort of stuff. So it's a broad reach, but we're dealing with things like grief, religion, healthcare systems, academic pressure, finding representation, which I also feel like are very complex things, you know? Like I feel like year after year, young people are just dealing with more complex emotions than I ever did when I was 16, 17, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. It seems like there's this whole new awareness or maybe conversation happening. And it's so fascinating to like read and hear about each of these individual people because, I mean, a lot of the discussion recently has been about teenagers being too young to make big decisions for themselves. But I mean, like Ellie, for example, started questioning their gender identity at 9, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if anyone's going to know themselves, you have to sort of trust the person.
Absolutely.
And I think it was Ellie who was 7 months into hormone replacement therapy while you were filming this.
Yes.
How was that experience for her to be documented while going through like not only the discomfort of teenage years but also hormone replacement therapy sort of shifting with that?
I think the great thing about vlogging is Ellie kind of, well, all of the kids did, but you know, let me into what they wanted to let me into. But I think for Ellie, particularly her story, I mean, she talks a lot about the fact that you're kind of in a weird spot where like you're becoming someone, like you're in the becoming stage. And every time she kind of mentions in the documentary, every time she looks in the mirror, she can't really see her face properly and she always looks a little bit different. And that's such a kind of a shaky experience as a teenager because you're already trying to figure out who you are, but who you are in the mirror is changing every day and you don't really know. And she kind of talks about the idea of, I guess just the waiting for it to happen and how that relates to how she makes relationships in her life and how she makes friends at school. So I think she was very vulnerable and very brave to share her story. And I think it was funny when I first watched Ellie's vlogs, it was sort of that thing where like she was just saying what I was thinking. Like she was saying the thoughts that I was like, I've had those thoughts, but I've been too scared to say them out loud. But you're saying them, so maybe I feel less ashamed to also say them. So, yeah, I think it's been very interesting. And, yeah, and Ellie is amazing. And the other thing with all the kids and with Ellie's story is they all have hopeful endings. They really affirm themselves by the end of the documentary. And there's this sense that as a teenager, as a trans teenager, you're just going to – you get over each obstacle every time and you just keep going, you know. So, yeah, hopefully that answers the question a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, it sounds like they're incredibly resilient teenagers to be tackling this as well as school and everything else that's going on for them. Why do you think it's so important for anyone who is trans to be exploring their gender identity and or transitioning if they want to at that age rather than further down the line?
Well, I think it's actually one of the participants says this in the documentary, Declan, who was that dancer that I was talking about. They talk about the fact that, you know, at the moment, at least in Western Australia, it's at least a year's wait to get into a gender clinic. And they say sometimes that's a lot, that's too late for some kids. And I think we all know what that means. So when we talk about trans kids affirming their gender and trying to express themselves at a young age, the importance of that is just uncanny because otherwise young trans kids feels like they just can't be themselves. And we know that that can end to devastating consequences. Why should we? And actually one of the kids said to me the other day, these kids surprise me every day. They always say things to me. And I'm like, well, how did you say that? You're a 40-year-old stuck in a 16-year-old body. How are you saying that? But one of our participants, Chloe, she said that there are some people who are born who never have to wait to be who they are.
Very insightful.
And I thought that. I was like, wow, the reason why these young kids, I guess, need to be listened to and need to explore that and need to be believed is the most important thing, is that otherwise they're going to spend their whole life waiting. And that's a devastating, devastating thing to do. Why would we want to stop anyone being themselves? And I think most of the time for these kids who are, you know, talking about medical transition, they're just cut off at the knees, you know. At least just have the conversation about it. Let's just open up and talk about it. Because otherwise, are not in a safe space to say what they need to say when they're kids, end up being shameful adults. Mm. And they carry that with them, you know. We're going to change that. We need to change that. We need to reverse it, you know. So.
It sounds like a really important series. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you
and
so much.
Congratulations on the launch today as well.
Thank you.
It's, we should have hauled everyone up and jump on air. We'd have to share a few mics.
Have you got 9 extra mics for the cast?
We'd make it work.
Yeah.
But pass on congratulations to them as well.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more or, of course, watch this, mm-hmm. whereabouts should they head?
So they should go to Minus 18's Instagram, which is at -18youth on Instagram. They can also watch the series a little bit later on in the month on TikTok, which is at Unerase Series. And they can also find just more general information about the project at www.unerase-series.tv as well. So yeah, you can find it all there.
Fantastic. And for yourself, do you have any websites or social medias if people want to see more of your work too?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just at AP Popjoy on Instagram and same with my website. So if you want to check it out, you can. But my face is all over the Unerase stuff as well, so you should be able to find it there. But yeah, yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to AP Popjoy here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.